You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Laura Boll.
When I say product, the person themselves is a product, regardless of what they're selling, if they are a public figure. And they could be doing this at any level. So it could be your local town mayor. It could be a clergy member. It could be a real estate agent or an entrepreneur. They all start with one singular offering and then expand from there.
Laura spent 10 years with Sony Music Entertainment, becoming one of the company's youngest executives at the age of 28. There, she spearheaded artist development and marketing for global brands, including Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley. Laura is now a consultant, speaker, and adjunct professor teaching disciplines in marketing and music business. She is an expert who specializes in marketing and transforming people into viable brands by offering insurmountable knowledge to teach others what it takes to become a powerful influencer. She currently resides in Dallas with her husband and daughter. Laura, welcome to On Brand.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You know, I am so excited to chat with you, and it was one of those episodes where we get to talking before the show, and there's stuff that's so good that you have trouble putting the brakes on it and saying, let's chat about that when we get there, because, you know, and I just read that line in your bio that talks about transforming people into viable brands. And here on the show, we talk about personal branding from time to time with different guests. But as I mentioned that in our pre-show chat, you noted, I just want to be clear what that is. And I said, no, that's exactly what I want to chat about. But that reminded me that it seems like a good place to start is really that misunderstanding that people seem to have about people as you know, viable brands. What do we think is the hang up, the roadblock there?
Well, I think it's this old, you know, I call it the Don Draper version of marketing, where a celebrity endorser, that's how you look at it, but you don't see them as their own brand. And so their brand is a multi-million dollar global company, just as whichever, you know, partnership that they are working together with, like a CoverGirl or a Nike, you know. So understanding that it's really two brands coming together instead of just one person getting a paycheck to say, oh, this is great. That's kind of what the difference is.
Well, and it almost seems like you mentioned the Don Draper version of marketing. It seems like there's maybe a bit of a timeline, of a history lesson there, because for a long time, it seems like that definition was probably more true of, oh, will you put mm-hmm. your face and your name next to this can of shaving cream, this type of beer? And now it really has evolved to be quite sophisticated that you have celebrities more than just endorsers. They are bringing their own platform on the digital side of things, but really there's bigger collaborations too.
Yeah, I think that you really saw the first evolution of that with the Beatles and Elvis. You know, you can see how much they sell merchandise, if you will, but it's Beatles merchandise or it's Elvis merchandise. It's things about Elvis. And so, you know, that became a constant extra source of income. And now we see ourselves in a technology world where, you know, the initial talent of whichever, you know, celebrity we're talking about, whether it's modeling or singing or any, you know, actor or anything, that is not necessarily their biggest income source anymore, because, you know, for instance, in the music industry, a lot of people aren't buying albums anymore. They're streaming, and there's no money in that. So they have to come up with other ways to really brand themselves outside. And, you know, you look at somebody like an Ellen DeGeneres or Martha Stewart, they have multiple merchandise lines outside of their show or outside of their, you know, Martha Stewart Living magazine. You know what I mean? So I think that the more product lines you have, the bigger the brand is. And that's kind of what you have to do nowadays to make a living.
Well, I think that that's a fascinating look and really enriches that kind of timeline that I was talking about. Because if you look at something like album sales and the impact of streaming and, you know, what the financial pie looks like, it is very different. So where do you start with designing that personal brand? Because you talked about, I mean, even folks like Martha Stewart, Ellen DeGeneres, where you've got products. Is there a North Star for defining what a personal brand is?
Well, that's a big question.
Yeah, it does not feel small, that question.
No, my whole book is about that. So there's a lot of steps that you really have to take to be able to. Well, here's the thing. In a traditional branding situation, we as marketers put a personality and a story onto an inanimate object. So if we're talking about like Jeep, you know, there's a boardroom of people that go, okay, we're going to make this ad spontaneous. We're going to make it fun. We're going to make it outdoorsy in hopes to connect with an audience that has those core values that they connect with, right? In order to sell the product. Well, when you're talking about people, they already have these core traits and these identities as a person and life experiences and all talents and strengths and weaknesses. And they all have to come together into a cohesive package, just as you would streamline a brand for Jeep. So there's a lot of layers there. First off, you have to look internally instead of externally and really, you know, figure out, you know, your own strengths and weaknesses and your own traits and those life experiences that you think will connect to your audience. You have to find a shared value with your audience in order to make that connection a lasting connection to create brand loyalty. And you have to do it in a way that you can separate yourself as a CEO as well, so that you can analyze how the marketplace is responding as well. So there's a lot of, you know, very detailed steps that have to come into play when you're trying to not only define your own personal brand, but then transforming that brand into a product that can be sold.
That was, again, like the question that I asked. It was a lot, but there's lots of questions, and these things don't just happen.
Right.
Again, getting back to the timeline of graft that celebrity's face next to the inanimate product that you have there and go. There has to be points of connection between personal brands and product brands, yes?
Oh, yeah. There has to be the personal brand has to come out into the product. So, you know, half of my book, the second part of my book, I should say, is really trying to figure out what to focus on, what those key traits are that are going to be there for the next 20 years in order to really connect with an audience and turn it into a product situation. And when I say product, the person themselves is a product, regardless of what they're selling. If they are a public figure, and they could be doing this at any level. So it could be your local town mayor. It could be a clergy member. It could be a real estate agent or an entrepreneur. You know, in my book, I focus on the macro influencers of the world, like Sheryl Sandberg's or Oprah Winfrey's. You know, they all start, it's just like a normal company as well. They all start with one singular offering, and then expand from there as they go on. So, you know, when you're talking Martha Stewart, she started as a catering company, you know, then it turned into, publications, cookbooks, etc. Then it turned into merchandising and then a magazine line and then television shows. And, each product is layered in just like a normal company would do.
And that's fascinating, and especially Martha Stewart as a personal brand. You brought up the catering. I mean, even that is that mm-hmm. at a local level that I'm sure there's right. many small businesses out there that are listening. So I love that definition too of the town mayor, the clergy, and I think regardless of what it is that they're selling, if you want to put air quotes around that, but it is moving people, changing minds, and influencing others.
Right. And I actually use the term influencer in my book and trying to reframe and redefine what that term is in the marketing world, because right now it's so connected to what I call the wild, wild west of content creators. There's so many different people just trying to quantify that marketplace right now. And there's no real measurement. So, for instance, somebody could have a huge following, but that doesn't necessarily equate to a loyal following or an active following. So I like to look at influencers as, how their overall business is doing and quantify it as a business instead of just online followers. And an example also of that is taking it offline. Like George Clooney doesn't even have social media, but he is a worldwide influencer. He's literally out there changing the world. I worked with Johnny Cash. I mean, there was no internet and he's still supremely influential today. So there's so many different nuances, really. If you just talk about, strip it all down to the influencing title, I find that that's a better term than public figures or celebrities, because not all celebrities are influential. There's a lot of celebrities out there that are just famous for, XYZ, and they do not have a connection with their audience whatsoever. There is no brand loyalty. And they really struggle to build brands, like their brand long term. So a lot of these things kind of go into, redefining and figuring it out and have to come to play when you're really talking about branding a person.
Hey, On Brand listeners, Nick Westergaard here. This is usually the point in the show where I mention that I'd love to speak at your next conference or corporate event. However, given current circumstances, most live events are being postponed or they're moving to virtual events. All of my keynotes are available virtually as webinars, including new talks on marketing in times of crisis and on virtual communication itself. As a listener of the On Brand podcast, you know I can keep an online audience engaged. I've also conducted countless global webinars and online education programs. Learn more now at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard with two A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So it also seems with this, the kind of semantic argument that you've been making on influencer versus public figure versus celebrity, it also seems like that's something that, we were talking about mega stars, Johnny Cash, George Clooney, but it also seems like when you look at it through the lens of influencer, I don't want to continue to bring this down to make it to make it smaller, but I think that when you look at it as influencers, you can start to see impact for local businesses as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the impact that they are able to have with their platform. I think sometimes we're so caught up in reading about it. Like you said, it seems like there's kind of a thing with influencer marketing that's like you said, Wild West and a little bigger than the thing itself, that it can have a real interesting impact, but it's the weather's a little cloudy near that topic.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think that, yes, I definitely try to explain the difference between micro-influencers and macro in the sense of how they do their business, how they conduct their business in an offline and an online situation. And just real quick tangent, yeah. But the reason why I harp on the online and offline is because I get asked a lot of times from business owners and, you know, people who are launching their own platforms, you know, I don't really feel comfortable on social media and this is why, and XYZ. And then you get down to really what their product is, what they're actually selling of themselves. And it doesn't even make sense to be on social media. So really, it comes down to this, you know, the brand dictates what the communication channel is that is used. And it does not have to include social media if it does not make sense for the brand. It'll come across as inauthentic. So I'm really trying to, you know, explain that to people so they don't feel pressured and then don't understand why, like they force it and then they don't understand why it's not connecting with an audience or not understanding why the consumer is not responding. But I am a huge proponent, you know, every brand starts local, no matter how you look at it. So even if you're talking Eric Clapton, right? Eric Clapton started playing bars in London, you know, and little clubs of hundreds of people before he even started his journey onto, you know, the first band he was in and then expanded from there. So I think that absolutely. And some people only want to be localized, you know, especially politicians. A lot of my book has to do with politicians and how they present themselves and their message. And of course, if you're, you know, wanting to be the governor of Texas or whatever, you really want to focus on your local Texas region. You know what I mean? So all of that kind of plays into what the message is and how the message is sent across.
The online versus offline tangent, I would say is, and tangent doesn't even feel like the right word, because I think that that's a key distinction in our chat here. Because I think when we read about this stuff, you know, like the prominent examples everyone's going to is, well, look at the Kardashian social media profile. Shouldn't that be what, you know, what anybody that's trying to do something like this should be looking for? But as you note, yeah, there's many, and especially at the local level where all brands start, which I love that quote. It may not be something that happens online.
Right. I mean, a lot of times, especially like if we're talking about local town mayors, et cetera, they don't even have social media profiles. You know, there's a lot of people that you vote for that you can't even find online when you're talking about the local level. So, but again, I try to look at how influential people are, how to build an influential brand. Well, A, you have to start with authenticity. So if you are going down communication channels that don't make sense, then that's it. That's done. You don't have, you know, you can't bounce back from that. So authenticity is the biggest thing that you need to keep in mind.
So authenticity is a word that makes me sigh, because it's one we use a lot. And yes, mm-hmm. yes, we need that. What's our, this is going to sound like a purposefully obtuse question, but what's our benchmark for checking authenticity? Because I think it's something everyone strives for. No one wants to run afoul of it, but how do we know?
Well, here's the thing. As you say, everybody's talking about authentic this, authentic yeah. that. And it's just as overused as influencer, right? As the term influencer. So this is another thing that I really like to clear up. Authenticity is a two-way street. I could be as authentic as I see myself, right? In my perception of the world. And yes, there's going to get some psychology in here. But and philosophical conversation. But, you know, I see the color red differently than you see the color red. I hear a siren differently than you hear a siren. And that's true for every single person on earth. So I could be as authentic as I am attempting to be. And a lot of things go into that internally. And I go through all those in my book, like private narrative versus your public narrative. And we get into that. But if your audience, if you're hitting the wrong target audience, they may not see you as authentic because of their perceptions of the world. So, for instance, a rancher in Texas is very different than a rancher in Montana. They live a different lifestyle. They work differently. They have different values and traits. And that's a very, you know, broad example. But if if I don't understand the Montana lifestyle, then that image may not make sense to me and may come across as inauthentic. So it's just as important that your audience is targeted correctly so that they can understand what you're trying to say.
So it gets back to maybe an easier thing to understand beyond, I love what you said about it's difficult categories to trade in when it's authenticity and influencer, because those are overused and somewhat hard to understand. But what's not is what you just said about knowing your people.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, breaking it down. And it's all about a shared value. You know, the psychology of influence always talks about a shared value. If I'm going to influence you, we have to have something connection-wise that is going to make you not only understand, but react, right? And so that shared value is very important to find between you as an influencer slash public figure and the audience. That's what makes them really latch on and become brand loyal.
So say you're out there, you're not starting from scratch, and you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I need to focus. I need to do what Laura said and find the share of values with my people. How do you do that? If you've already started or you're about to start out and you don't feel as focused on that shared value front?
Yeah. So the way that my book is actually set up is every chapter has action steps at the end and there's exercises. So it's a step-by-step process, you know, walking up the stairway. And at the end, the goal is for the reader to have a mission statement, which I call a brand statement, because for a person, I want to distinguish the difference between a company and a person. So what that brand statement should have in there is things like purpose, right? And that shared value that you have with the audience, but also your core attributes of the brand that is going to last the next 20 years. And the way that I do that really is through something I call the brand matrix. And it's a Venn diagram covering the three major elements of a brand, which are product, image, and narrative. And then where those three circles come together in the middle of that Venn diagram, those are the core pillars that are going to be what you need to focus on and really keep consistent throughout the life of the brand.
So where is the best place to start filling in those circles?
Well, I mean, I have a questionnaire that I send to my clients that that's a very extensive questionnaire, and there's a lot of psychology behind it. And you really gain a focus on what is true to that person. And you're basically just calling out all of these personality traits, because a narrative for a person is their personality. It is their lifestyle. And those things have to, you know, come into play in that long-term brand. So it's really just asking yourself a lot of difficult questions and writing down and living with it for a little bit and understanding why you're doing music or why you're doing comedy or why you're in the public eye to be a politician or whatever it is, right? And I think that it is a process, and, you know, some people it takes a couple of months to work through, and some people it takes years. And there's no right or wrong answer for how long it takes. And I don't think that anybody really starts out immediately understanding and focusing completely correctly on the best brand attributes that they can. But it is something that they, if you really focus on it at the beginning and start and really practice it, you know, branding never stops. So it is something that they will evolve into over time very naturally.
Well, and I have to think, getting back to the A word of authenticity, I would have to think mm-hmm. that something like this brand statement can serve as a touchstone to, mm-hmm. like you said, of why am I making music? Why am I an elected official? Why did I hang my shingle out to sell XYZ? As you're presented with various decisions in your in your life as a brand, as a business, as a whatever you are.
Well, not only that, it is, and that's why I relate it to a mission statement, because not only that, but it helps you decide which team members to hire. It helps those team members stay on track, you know, because if you as the CEO have the grander picture of where you want your company to go. If there are people on the team that don't understand the brand per se, then that is a huge shot in the foot, right? So it's just like any normal company. You have to keep people focused on the reasons and the purpose. And there is one other thing, you know, in the world of positive psychology, when it comes to business, a lot of people confuse passion and purpose. Passion is what you like to do. You know, I like to sing. Okay, well, that's great, but that's not going to make me invest money into you, you know, because there's millions of people out there that like to sing. So why? What's the purpose? What is the business reason for why you want to make a living doing this career? You know, that all of that has to come into play.
One thing I love that I want to point out that you said in there, because I mentioned it's a good touchstone for you, but you also mentioned how easy something like this, knowing something like this, you talked about others that you hire and having others as part of your team. I think, especially if you are a personality and a personal brand, an influencer brand, having that clearly defined and being able to share that with others makes it clear to everyone what it is that we're doing together too.
100%. Yes. And also going back to what you're saying about keeping you on track, you know, I work with a lot of creatives and even, you know, most entrepreneurs I know are very creative types. And sometimes, you know, they let their dreams and the thoughts run away with them. So having that focus really makes those day-to-day business decisions a lot easier. It takes the second guessing out of the equation 99% of the time.
Well, I love that. And I think we've got a lot of actionable steps that we've outlined here for folks thinking through this. Many points that have made me smile, but we've come to the point in the podcast where, Laura, I have to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Okay, well, I will go with John Krasinski with some good news. or should I say ugly cry? Because yeah. He has been killing me every week with his some good news. Oh, I just love it. But that is on brand with everything that he has done his entire career, how he presents himself in interviews and, you know, across all media outlets. So it's perfectly on brand for him. It's authentic. It's sincere and really touches the audience. I love it.
And what I think is great about that example, right when you said it, is you can go back through and run that through the framework that you've been talking about this whole episode, and you can see it's about the shared values of the audience. I mean, that's why 100%. All the ugly crying.
It's so ugly crying. I don't know how anybody can watch that each episode without just like, oh God, it's so touching, you know. It's so good.
A great smile. Laura, you have been a very modest guest, and as we wrap up and I ask you where folks can go to learn more about who you are and what you do, I also want to make sure that we point out, we've mentioned your book several times, but as you share where we should send folks, be sure to let folks know what your book's called and where they can find a copy of it.
Yeah. So, well, let's start with the book. So the book is From Individual to Empire, A Guide to Building an Authentic and Powerful Brand. And it is available in paperback and ebook everywhere worldwide. So anywhere you want to grab it. And my website is laurabull.com. And you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at @TheLauraBull and on Facebook at Laura Bull Branding.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Laura, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you for having me.
And a reminder, if we've made you smile, please remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.